Previous sessions on which gospel. In our last session, we spoke about the holistic perspective of the gospel, focused much on Luke chapter 4, verse number 19, that talks about how Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the captives, etc. Today's session is focused on the gospel of Christ, or what is the gospel of Christ. Romans 1 verse 16 and 17, as Paul writes to the Roman church, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." Please take note of some of the words. Firstly, "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Verse 17, For in it, that means in the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So in this particular verse, firstly, Paul is establishing the fact that he is not ashamed to preach the gospel of Christ. And the two elements of this is that it is the power of God to salvation. That's the first thing. The second thing is, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 to 10, Paul is reiterating this position to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." The same thing is mentioned in Romans 1, 16. "For it is the power of God to salvation, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time." Verse 10 of 2 Timothy 1, "but has now been revealed." So see, the gospel is not only the power of God to salvation, but it is also revealed. And the revealing of the gospel is the righteousness of God. And it says, "but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now, what is the gospel of Christ? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 to 4, and I just read it for you also in 2 Timothy verse 10. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which is the gospel of Christ, which also you received, in which you stand, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." Number one, that Christ died for our sins. So the gospel is about Christ dying for your sins, according to the scriptures. That means that which was declared by the law and prophets was fulfilled in Christ. Secondly, he was buried. Thirdly, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. So the gospel has the elements of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Those three elements make up what we call the gospel of Christ. And that gospel is the power of God that brings people to salvation. So when we think about the power of God, and you know, when we mention the word the power of God, we only sort of associate it with external demonstration of power, where people fall down under the power of God. And we must establish that the quintessential dynamic of the power of God is to bring people to salvation. Now, when you talk about the word power, it's translated in the Greek as the word dunamis. There's also the word exousia, which is the external demonstration of the power of God. But the word dunamis is the inherent power of God, which is also strength, ability that comes from within. It comes from the English word, or relates to the English word dynamite. And when you talk about the gospel, it is dynamite in the sense that it begins to cause you to be drawn into salvation. Now, let's illustrate this from the time when the early church received the gospel of Christ through the mouth of Peter after the day of Pentecost. So in Acts 2 verse 22, as Peter is now addressing the crowd that has come before him, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God through him did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." So what did they experience? They experienced the exousia, the power of God in their midst through Jesus Christ. And in verse 23, it says, "Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands," listen, "you have crucified, you have put to death, whom God raised up." So what was Peter giving these Jews? He was giving them the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Verse 24, "whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held buried." Now, here's Peter preaching the gospel of Christ, relating to his death, relating to his burial, and relating to his resurrection. Look at the effects of it. Look at what the outcome of it. Look at the power of God in it. Acts 2 verse 37. "Now when they heard this," what did they hear? They heard the gospel of Christ. What did they hear? About the death, about the burial, about the resurrection of the Lord through the mouth of Peter. So the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. Acts 2:37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?'" So what are you seeing? When Peter preached the gospel of Christ, it was the power of God that brought people to salvation. It was the dynamite that ignited something inside of them, inherent power, that drew them to say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Tell us, what must we do to be saved?" You need to understand that the gospel of Christ has the inherent power to bring people to salvation. It is not your good speaking. It is not our eloquence. It is not the way we present things. No, it is the inherent power of God that is able to bring men to salvation. And it is because of the gospel of Christ, which is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The second aspect of the verse that I read to you in terms of the gospel of Christ, "for in it," meaning in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed." The first is the power of God that brings men to salvation. The second is, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. So the gospel has something in it. It is to reveal to someone, the righteousness of God. Psalms 98 verse 2, "the Lord has made known his salvation," meaning he revealed it, unveiled it, or disclosed it to us. He has made known his salvation. "His righteousness," that's what the verse says, he has revealed in the sight of the nation. So all the nations has now come to know the salvation of God because he reveals it in his righteousness. Now, this is a very deep subject when you talk about the righteousness of God, because when we talk about the righteousness of God, our thoughts are only towards his justice and how he would administrate justice for people. But I want you to understand this in the context of the gospel of Christ. Verse 3 says, "He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Now, the law and the prophets would speak of Jesus as being the Savior. And in the New Testament, Christ becomes the revealed righteousness of God, which is the way in which God makes known his salvation to the nation. So Christ has become that righteousness. Now to capture it, Romans 3 verse 21 to verse 26 captures everything about how the righteousness of God becomes revealed in the gospel of Christ to us. In Romans 3:21 it says, but now the righteousness of God, listen to this carefully, apart from the law. That means if you speak to the scribe and the Pharisees, their righteousness was based on the law. So when Jesus would have conversations with the Pharisees and the scribes, oftentimes he would say, they would say to him, and the law says, and the law says, and the law says. But remember that their righteousness, the scribes and the Pharisees' righteousness, was based on keeping the law. Here it says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. That's so powerful. Apart from the law is revealed, witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Why? All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Now, when we say that the gospel of Christ is the revelation of the righteousness of God, God's righteous wrath was appeased by the propitiation of the blood of Jesus that saved us from our sin. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. But in order for us to be reconciled to God, God in his righteousness reveals his salvation by allowing his own son to die on the cross, shed his blood for you, and in that way, he reveals his righteousness to you. Why? Because Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. So the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Christ, and the gospel of Christ is the fact that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. Now, if sin is the manifestation of our unrighteousness, and we can only be saved through the righteousness of God, then the ultimate sin is self-righteousness. My God, you need to understand that you cannot save yourself. This is why you cannot save yourself even through good works. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before the law. But his righteousness is revealed through his son, whom he allowed to die on the cross so that we can become the righteousness of God. Jesus did not reject sinners who came to him for mercy and salvation, but he rejected those who were too righteous in their own eyes. This were called the scribes and the Pharisees. So he came to save sinners and not to save those who are righteous in their own eyes. No one is too lost to be saved. They are only those who are too good to be saved, because they believe their righteousness is beyond the righteousness of God. In the Gospels, those who thought themselves most righteous were the ones condemned by our Lord as wicked and unrighteous. So, two aspects that we covered this morning. One, the gospel of Christ is the power of God that leads people to salvation. Secondly, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed to us. That's the gospel of Christ. When we receive that gospel, we realize that we are unrighteous before God. Therefore, we need his righteousness to be revealed to us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. Amen.